Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices. Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Bill Gross, good morning.
Hi, Tom.
Boy, is it a difference from 30 days ago when we spoke. Lots of gyrations. Let's get to the bond market in a minute.
Okay.
Jim Glassman talking about sort of a churn and a moving forward, but without wage growth. Can we have a prosperous America with better unemployment numbers, but flat wages?
Well, not much of a better economy, that's for sure. To my way of thinking, Tom, you know, you can't grow an economy without a consumer, unless you're China, I guess, and the rest of the world is your consumer. You know, wages and wage growth and unemployment coming down, therefore, are critical for real GDP and critical for corporate profits, too. So, you know, when I see wages flat versus 0.2% last month, and when I see the work week flat, and when I see unemployment going up, I see a GDP in the U.S. of 1% to 2%.
Yeah, we're talking pennies here, folks. In the last 90 days, average hourly earnings, 23.83 per hour, 23.88, and we put a penny on it this month, 23.89. That doesn't get it done. Bill, what is your prescription then? You have been an advocate. You've been critical of Washington. Did you know the passcode for the NSA was 1234? I hope you're not doing that at PIMCO with what we've seen overnight. You got to have better passcodes, Bill, than that. What is your prescription for Washington?
The prescription for Washington is to recognize, first of all, that these employment problems are structural in nature. They're due to globalization, to demographics, aging demographics, and to technology, you know, the race against the machine. You know, what does that mean? Does it mean that you throw your hands up in frustration and go home? I don't think so, but what it suggests is that, yes, from a fiscal standpoint, you direct your spending towards investment for the future, and from a monetary standpoint, you recognize that at some point the quantitative easing and the low interest rates are distorting capital markets, which are critical to growth in the economy going forward.
Let's get to the bond market in a second. One more Washington question. What would you like to see from Ben Bernanke right now?
Well, the immediate question is tapering or no tapering, and I don't think today's report says anything about tapering at all with unemployment going higher, and with the other metrics that we just spoke to in terms of the work week and wages, you know, being very dour. And so what should I want to see from Bernanke, I guess, to keep it going? Keep writing checks. At the same time, I've argued against this continual check writing in terms of the negative aspects of it, the fact that it ultimately harms savers, it harms business models, and it lowers return on investment for corporations. And so at some point, as the hawks have been arguing, we've got to move higher. So did I just talk out of both sides of my mouth? Perhaps. I'm telling you what I think Bernanke will do. He won't taper. But I think ultimately, in order to get a more normal economy, that the Fed has got to move interest rates up to more normal levels.
May 7th, the 10-year yield 1.78%. June 7th, the 10-year yield 2.07%. It's been a 30 basis point nightmare for Bill Gross. How have you managed the PIMCO Total Return Fund over these 30 tumultuous days?
Well, attempting to de-risk as adroitly as possible. The market a month ago was very low yielding, very low carrying, I guess, which is the point. And carry, Tom, is not just in terms of the yield for the 10-year, but the yield for high yield bonds, the spreads, you know, currency levels, et cetera. And, what we've tried to do is to de-risk in all of these ways, to reduce carry and to reduce risk relative to not just to a 10-year treasury, but relative to a Fed funds rate at 25 basis points. The problem, just to elaborate, is that there's too much leverage, not just in global economies, but too much leverage in the financial system and too little return. And, as we've seen over the past month, once currency stability was disrupted, then the funding of these trades is at risk.
Michael Gomez, as you know, Bill, running PIMCO's Emerging local bond fund. It's enjoyed an 8.7% drop in about 3 cups of Newport Beach coffee. It's tough out there. What do you advise our listeners and young lads like Michael Gomez in this dangerous time for bonds? Why should I own bonds?
Well, you need to own the right bonds. What we've said is that it's not a bond market. It's a market of bonds, and you point that out with emerging market local. You know, what's happened there, of course, is that once delevering takes place, the levered trades, which are carry trades, which are higher yielding trades like high yield bonds, begin to be unwound, and there's very little liquidity once the process starts. You know, we think that will improve. The local currency countries that we're in terms of Brazil and Mexico, they've gone up by 100 to 150 basis points, but the situation in Mexico hasn't changed much in terms of their
right.
valuation metrics. So I'd advise, as I talked to you in the earlier segment, to get back to center, to de-risk, and if you have too much of anything, you know, it's better
right.
really to pull back and look for another opportunity, as Muhammad would say.
And Bill, I know Michael McKee wants to get in here. Here's the money question of the moment. With all your experience and with PIMCO Global, are you seeing normal transactional moods in the bond market? Are you seeing panic in the bond market in the illiquid space, or is it business as usual, even as we see lower price and higher yield?
It's definitely not business as usual, and we've noticed the deterioration ever since PIMCO began a sales program actually months ago to get back to center, and it's been ongoing, but certainly in the last week in terms of liquidity, and you can measure liquidity by bid-ask spreads, which are wider. You can measure it by the size that's bid for, which is less, and less. In other words, a typical transaction from $5 to $10 million, say, is down to $2 to $3 million at best. And so, yeah, the liquidity, not just in emerging markets, but in high-yield markets, in corporate space, is decidedly limited. It's not a panic mode necessarily, although, we're beginning to see in high-yield ETFs and other space, some type of liquidation on an overnight basis.
Well, getting to your point that you were just making about a market of bonds, I guess part of the reason, part of the question would be, why are these is this liquidity situation developing and this mood developing? Understanding why in each market might help you understand what you should do there.
Sure.
What do you think is the reason? Is everybody reacting to, a stray phrase from Ben Bernanke? Are they looking at the economy? Are they looking at microeconomics in each country?
Well, several butterfly wings in this case, I think, Mike. First of all, and most importantly, I think it's emanating from Japan. Japan was a source of levered carry. In other words, levered investors, hedge funds, and other investors basically borrowed a cheap yen, in other words, a low-yielding yen, with some type of consistency and expectations going forward that they wouldn't lose in terms of their borrowing. What we've seen in the last several weeks is that the yen can go up as well as down. We're seeing that today. We saw that yesterday. And interest rates in Japan can go up as well as, stay the same. And so levered hedge fund trades, which use the yen as a carry vehicle, basically are eliminating those positions that they've put on because the funding source is not stable. In addition, last point, you mentioned the tapering. To the extent that, Abe and Kuroda in Japan and Bernanke in the United States, speak to changes in terms of, the tapering or less tapering, buying or less buying, then, interest rates themselves are on a volatile type of risk. So we have two butterflies in the air, and they have transmitted that volatility to much of the global marketplace.
Isn't that what the lepidopterists at the Fed would like to see? You said things are not normal, but isn't really this closer to normal to have some volatility, to have the idea that there are two-way trades out there?
Well, that's a good question, and we talk about that as to trying to temper this speculative marketplace, if in fact it exists. And I think some of the Fed presidents think it does. But on the other hand, you know, Janet Yellen has been working for years to be open, to have a dialogue, to tell markets exactly, you know, what to expect in terms of 6.5% unemployment and the path towards it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it doesn't make much sense to me for a Fed to begin to create uncertainty when it's been the point of the Fed over the past several years to create less and less certainty, which lowers volatility, mm-hmm. which lowers term premiums and stabilizes markets. So this is a Greenspan conundrum in a new form.
Bill, you know your long-term track record. It's been better than good. It's on the edge of the San Francisco 49ers. Five-year track record, better than good. You know, a great three-year track record. Last year, you hit the ball out of the park. The last 3 months, the last month, negative 2% for PIMCO total return. Okay, fine. There's been a lot of gyrations. As you move forward and you're a bond investor out there, the cliche is you manage for coupon. Is there any coupon to manage for?
Well, it's limited, and that's the problem. You know, the coupon on the 10-year Treasury is, 2.15 to 2.20%. And, you know, as you reach further into corporate space and high-yield space, it gets into the 3s, 4s, and 5s, but you know, admittedly with a lot of risk, as we've seen over the last week. You know, the PIMCO Total Return Fund is down, but still up 50 basis points relative to the market for the year. So we're
Let me make that clear. The Sharpe ratio and comparison to peers is off the chart. But I mean, it's been a stressful 3 months. Would you rather be in a Procter & Gamble dividend?
Not now, because Procter & Gamble and other corporations are dependent on growth ultimately. And, you know, we're not seeing growth. And so I think even equities with their relatively higher dividends, you know, stand at risk, not at risk in terms of cutting the dividend, but at risk in terms of the, you know, the equity risk premium or the dividend risk premium relative to corporate bonds and to treasury bonds. And that, you know, has a limit in terms of this this metaphor that investors are talking about in terms of switching from bonds to stocks, because, Apple yields 3 and Apple bonds yield 1.5. It seems like a slam dunk. It isn't a slam dunk. If we don't have real growth show up at 2 to 3% going forward, which is what stocks basically depend upon.
We've got a couple more weeks until the next Fed meeting. Do we have anything to trade on in that period, or do the markets just sort of sit back now in this rough range, a little over 2% for the 10-year, and wait?
Well, I think so, and we think so. Most carry trade markets have increased substantially, one of which is volatility. Volatility is compressed in the mortgage market, for instance, and mortgage spreads have widened out to the extent that tapering is less likely going forward, and I think today's report, you know, suggests that. Then, you know, the purchasing of mortgages continues at $40 to $45 billion a month, and mortgages are 15, 20, 25, 30 basis points wider to treasuries over the past month, with admittedly the same credit quality, mm-hmm. but with more volatility. That's why they widen out. And so, you know, we've begun to re-enter the mortgage market based upon lack of tapering fears and much wider spreads and high quality.
Bill, we got 20 seconds left. It's National Donut Day. Did you buy the usual case of donuts for the PIMCO troops this morning?
I was late this morning. I passed up Rose's Donuts on the Coast Highway. I shouldn't have. I love my old-fashioned chocolate donut, and I'm going to miss it once we wind this up, Tom.
Bill Gross, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate your attendance each and every Jobs Day.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.